Welcome, everyone, back to another episode of the Georgia National Guard Fence Post Podcast. I'm your host, Private First Class Chastity Williams, and today I'll be guiding you through the final podcast of 2023, where we'll feature sound bites from past podcasts and guests from the previous year. Think of this as our year in review or best of. Here's one of our past podcasts from June and July. They were a part of your Command Sergeant Major's edition. In it, you'll hear your host, State Command Sergeant Major Ballinger, and his guests, Command Sergeant Majors Kenny, Barnes, and Cummings.
What I want to do is just talk a little bit about some things on the horizon as I see them. And then the guest I got here today, my Sergeant's Major, we're just going to kind of talk about stuff as we see a little bit about NCO progression at all levels. And then we want to talk a little bit about kind of the state of the state or where we see the Georgia Army National Guard going forward.
Just so, you know, part of it, okay, training may have not input certain things in, but what are we doing with the soldiers who are just not completing their height and weight or ACFT? What if it's not the unit or, you know...
You mean not passing?
Not taking it or not going to conduct their height and weight. If you have a unit and the first sergeant says, we're taking our height and weight today, and the soldier keeps missing their height and weight, what are we doing from there?
Yeah, I mean, it's just like what we do with everything is we need to counsel the soldier, not counsel the soldier, but counsel those behaviors. That's right. What we're getting after is behaviors. Absolutely. And I tell you, I'm going to kind of shift it just a little bit on NCOERs, but a great segue into evaluations is every evaluation I've ever had, it talks about me, what I've done, you know, what I've done in the past, my potential on that evaluation. What I like to do is get our NCOs, and for those Raiders and Senior Raiders, which is the officer majority of the officer corps out there, is to look at rating our company battery and troop first sergeants, platoon sergeants, battalion sergeant majors, and brigade sergeant majors, not on yourself, but what has your company battery and troop battalion and brigade doing? What do those metrics look like, right? Because we're a team. So we need to start looking at, hey, I'm going to evaluate you, not just on you personally, but I'm going to evaluate you on how good your soldiers are. Because to me, that's where your leadership is.
How you influence the formation.
That's exactly right. Because that's our job, is to influence change in a positive way and get our soldiers ready for the fight.
Right.
So that's how I want to drive evaluations going forward.
And that's exactly how I do my first sergeants, and they know exactly what it is. I'm not grading you how great of a first sergeant you are, how great of a leader you are. What do your numbers say? Because you are what your numbers say you are.
You know, for those who are listening, you know, the Georgia Army National Guard, we put a lot of stock in our soldiers. And, you know, it really hurts my heart when we have a soldier has done something that not everybody might be happy with or whatever, but I would just tell you, you know, if any soldier out there, it doesn't matter what rank you are, it doesn't matter what race you are or nothing, we have somebody to help you out. Whether if it's a work-related issue or it's a financial issue or it's a family issue or even a command team issue, we have Military Source One. We have family programs. We probably have the best corps of chaplains that I've ever seen in the Georgia Army National Guard. They are willing to do whatever they got to do. So, you know, I know each one of us have experienced soldiers that's been in a bad situation and maybe has asked for some help and maybe hasn't asked for help. But, you know, again, and I just want to make it very clear that if a soldier has a problem, there will be no repercussions on you coming and asking for help.
There is a willingness to help people in this organization that you won't find anywhere else. If you call in the middle of the night and you're homeless or you've just had to leave your house with your kids, we have people that will in the middle of the night actively work to help you find somewhere to go. So you just have to ask for the help. There are so many resources people don't know are available.
I'll tell you, Sergeant Major, like I tell my sons all the time, like there's no problem that's bigger than we are. Like we can solve any problem that you have. There's none.
This podcast, our host Tiffany will be discussing Work for Warriors with Representatives Lacey Turner, Jordan Trent, and Captain Ekman.
Tell us about, you know, Work for Warriors Georgia, Lacey.
So Work for Warriors Georgia is actually housed in the Military Family Support Branch of the Georgia National Guard. We are a free employment assistance program that provides a variety of different services such as career counseling, job search assistance, resume writing interview, interview skill prep, application assistance, connect job seekers with employers. And one of the coolest features about our program is that we're actually integrated into the Guard and have direct access to service members. We have 10 team members located throughout Georgia at armories in Gainesville, Augusta, Savannah, Columbus, Kennesaw, Metro, and South Atlanta, and Cumming. And we utilize industry-leading technology to improve the speed to service for our 2,600 candidates and our 920 employers to meet workforce demands.
How does someone become eligible to be a part of the program?
So we're actually a program that benefits service members, veterans, retirees, reservists, and their family members, regardless of branch. So Air Force is welcome, Space Force, Coast Guard, anybody in the military community. They just register on our website at workforwarriorsga.org. And like Lacey said, we have regionally located employment coordinators that will reach out to you within 72 hours. So it's a pretty easy process. Just go on our website.
Our next two podcasts, hosted by Tiffany, will cover the Georgia State Defense Force service, mission, and recruiting with Brigadier General Gelhart.
How do you assist the National Guard?
Well, we are the brother, the sister, the stepbrother, whatever you want to call, of the National Guard. We are side by side to the National Guard. My boss is the tag, the Adjutant General. His boss is the governor. We wear uniforms just like the National Guard. We wear some portions of our uniform different because we are a volunteer force, not a federal force. But we work with the National Guard as one of our three primary missions. Our first primary mission is to support the National Guard when they deploy, when they need help in training, when they need opposing force individuals, when they need someone to cover down on their armories, when they need help and assistance in anything. We are there to help the National Guard. That's one of our primary missions. A secondary mission is to help during emergencies and disasters. And the third triad of our mission is to help local citizens in public relations, parades, funerals. But we're hand in hand with the National Guard. We couldn't do what we do without the National Guard. And we give the National Guard some assets and abilities that they wouldn't have otherwise.
So for the month of April in 2023, we had a podcast with the topic of wellness
with host Captain Amanda Russell.
And your guest was Lieutenant Colonel Chandler.
So the Integrated Primary Prevention Program Office, we actually execute the National Guard prevention strategies. And that sounds kind of big and very overwhelming to think about it. But ultimately, what it means is we just make sure that our prevention process is as known as our response process. Mm-hmm. So we spend a lot of our time with a lot of programs dealing with response to harmful behaviors like suicide or sexual assault or family violence, domestic abuse, bullying. We spend a lot of time and energy and a ton of money on programs mm-hmm. that are response driven. So what we're really interested in doing with the prevention program is kind of getting ahead of all of those. So we're interested in the conditions that lead to harmful behaviors. We're interested in kind of changing the culture of the military so that we're doing less responding and we just spending more time being resilient. Absolutely. Right?
Something more proactive.
It's a much more proactive approach mm-hmm. to harmful behaviors.
Okay.
Our next podcast took place in May and it covered the Best Warrior competition. Your host was Staff Sergeant Tomas. And your guests were Sergeant Holden and Sergeant White.
It's also probably easier, or I know it's easier, to let go of mistakes and to keep a good mindset when, like, you know you're in the lead. Like, you know you're holding on to that lead, and you just got to keep pushing it. Like, I'm sure this guy can attest, state versus regional. Like, state, you probably didn't worry about mistakes and stuff. You were like, yeah. I'm flying through this competition, beating all these dudes around me, like, don't have to worry. And then you get to regionals, and then, like, if you start snowballing, it's easy to kind of tumble downhill from there, I'd imagine.
All right, so when you think about nationals, but just when you think about readiness as a whole, these competitions are meant to test that, you know, so being ready both physically, mentally, spiritually. You said that you didn't feel like you were mentally like challenged as much. Like, what about the long, like grueling nights, like with little sleep and, you know, still having to perform very well? Like, isn't that something that plays, you know, plays its part as well?
I mean, I think I got a lot of the mentally challenging parts out of the way in the training leading up to it. Like, if you live under those stressful conditions and perform under those stressful conditions consistently leading up to an event like that, whether it's Best Warrior, a combat deployment, a job interview, whatever, like if you're training under those stressful conditions, when it's actually time to do it, in a way it's less stressful.
In the month of September, we celebrated Hispanic Heritage Month, with your host being Major Charles Emmons and your guests being Senior Master Sergeant Grisales, First Lieutenant Morales, and First Lieutenant Soto.
What would you all say Hispanic Heritage Month means to you?
I think, you know, celebrating one of the largest ethnic groups is important, not only for that, but for diversity. And diversity is a military necessity. Also for, you know, global engagement. I think it highlights a lot of individuals, a lot of ethnic backgrounds that I've seen. And it's always very good to see how diverse populations can put and can implement and can, you know, give part of what they know, knowing where they're from, you know, to help support the team. I think it's a team effort. And I think everyone brings a different element to the table. I think that's part of diversity, you know, having that voice at that table, which is what the military is.
For Hispanic Heritage, I think we celebrate it as a whole every single day by eating different types of food, being able to celebrate traditions and culture and following family traditions as well. We're able to recognize history and the achievements we've also had.
What would you have to say to them in terms of your opportunities and what you've been able to do in the Guard?
I think joining the military is kind of one of those things that can give you so many tools to succeed in, even after the military.
In the month of October, we talked about deployments with your host, State Command Sergeant Major Ballinger, and your guest, Colonel Baker.
The 48th Brigade, you know, we have usually deployed in a kinetic environment, a little bit hostile mobilizations, you know, in the past. But this one, too, is going to be a complex mission, you know, very complex environment. You got several different areas of operations out there. And so how do you look at this mission versus that mission and still talk to your soldiers about how important this is, that not only is it important to the Georgia Army National Guard and the 48th Infantry Brigade Combat Team, but how is it going to change the focus of all areas of operation, what we're doing, and why is that so important for y'all?
Well, I'll tell you, Sergeant Major, I appreciate that question because it is a lot different of a mobilization than the 48th has been used to normally. We've got all our soldiers going to one place, you know, the leadership's all together. But this time, it's significantly different. And so we're going to be decentralized. So what becomes really key for the success is the right leadership in positions, because everybody's not going to be attached to the brigade. Everybody's going to be under different chains of commands, but they're going to carry with them the swag of the brigade, how we operate, how we act, and just be the example that everybody looks us to be, not only in the Guard overall, in the state, in the nation, but also with the other countries that we're going to be working with, because anytime anyone sees the U.S. patch, we are the standard in who they want to be like. And so that's what we're going to bring to the fight, and that's how it's a lot different. You know, Sergeant Major Kenny and I, just like any leader, whether it's at the platoon sergeant, platoon leader level, company commander, first sergeant, battalion commander, battalion sergeant major, brigade commander, brigade sergeant major, we always want our soldiers to be with us where we are.
The month of November 2023, we spoke on innovations with your host being myself, Private First Class Williams, as well as guests Mr. Shannon and Colonel Brooks.
What happened was NGB gave us a very short mission. They said, we are pushing innovation. And so I turned to my friend Colonel Brooks and I said, look, here we go, because we talk about innovation on a regular basis. And he's really deep into the Air Force side and the Joint side, which is fantastic. And the only way we're going to win is we win together anyway. So I went to him and he goes, look, I've already got him one. This is one that's like, it's dead on the mission. And it was he called it a disaster dog. And he told me about this. Oh my gosh, this is fantastic.
What is the disaster dog program?
We went to the Army and Air and the Joint Staff, collectively put our heads together. There were some other good ideas. The group collectively chose the thing I already had kind of on paper, which was a disaster dog. And that's, I'd done some research. We'd already tried this in my previous one as commander of the 116th Security Forces Squadron. There was already a mature thing there. Ironically, we'd already done another YouTube video and podcast, which was part of the requirements here. So it kind of helped in that regard. But the program would be awesome for the Guard to take on. There's some precedents for it. The 123rd Air Wing actually has a dog. They used a couple programs to pay for it. A lot of the Air Force put money in the form of innovation funds at each wing. And so they chose a route to do kind of a live search and rescue dog. The difference in this one would be that you may not necessarily be looking for live folks. When you go down the calculus or the math to get to finding, if you're going to find actual live humans, the likelihood is probably much more rare. But I have a kind of a vision, and we talked about his vision of maybe putting one within the Suburban Enterprise, maybe attached to all the HERFs throughout the 54, and then you could grow the program from there.
This is where we had the podcast covering the cadaver dogs with your host, Staff Sergeant Tomas, and your guest, Staff Sergeant Nelson of the Air Force.
All right, so you get to, you know, the program, and you decide to go canine, like the canine route. So can you tell me a little bit more about it?
Yeah, so a lot of work. It's a lot of training and learning how to train the dogs and then train yourself.
Right.
And so, yeah, so while you're training the dog, you're also training yourself to be a good handler and trainer, but also in search and rescue as well. So, because my rescue special certification only got me in the door.
Right.
You got to keep it going from there. Yeah, so I was able to do mission manager courses and rescue tech courses and stuff like that, which I have those certifications. So, and that's just for me.
So you opened the door for an entire new world, basically, and you were starting from ground zero.
Ground zero, yep. So I got my dog, Jacoby, at 8 weeks old. And from there, you have to do, it's very strict as far as timelines and milestones for their training. So you have to be up to a certain speed when they hit a certain age, and if not, you know, they do like retraining.
Right.
Where they can get you in. You can get with some people, some different trainers, and say, hey, these are my shortfalls. You know, how do I pick it up to where we can meet the milestones where we need to be? And a lot of dogs, they wash out. They just can't hang. And
right.
Luckily, Jacoby was a rock star with it.
For your final podcast, in the month of December, we celebrated the National Guard birthday, as well as learning the history of the Georgia Guard. I was your host, Private First Class Williams, with knowledgeable guest and historian, Major Caraway.
Why should we care about military history?
Well, for those of us in the National Guard, certainly, history is a substitute for experience, and that goes for all fields. I mean, if you're going to apply yourself to any profession, you don't have to go into that profession without the benefit of experience if you have looked into the history. I've always been interested in history, but what really crystallized it for me was when I mobilized to Afghanistan in 2009. I was a infantry platoon leader with the 2nd Battalion, and we were stationed in a remote area of North Afghanistan. And it occurred to me, you know, I've got a platoon of soldiers, citizen soldiers, who gave up everything they were doing in civilian life to be here for us. You know, less than 1% of the country serves. And as I was looking around, it occurred to me that, you know, if it's worth them doing, then it's sure worth us remembering. And I apply that today to where, you know, our soldiers, our airmen, as they train, as they volunteer, as they join up, as they, whether they're conducting state missions or mobilizing overseas, as several of our units just have and are preparing to do, if it's worth them doing, it's worth us remembering.
Thank you everyone for tuning in to another episode of the Georgia National Guard Fence Post Podcast. As an update, our podcast will be posted once every quarter. That's once every 3 months. If you guys like this video or have any comments or suggestions about what the next topic should be, feel free to share in the comments. Thank you, and like, share, subscribe.